It was told the king of Jericho, saying, Behold, men from the sons of Israel have come here tonight to search out the land. And the king of Jericho sent word to Rahab, saying, Bring out the men who have come to you, who have entered your house, for they have come to search out all the land. But the woman had taken the two men and hidden them, and she said, Yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from. It came about when it was time to shut the gate at dark that the men went out. I do not know where the men went. Pursue them quickly, for you will overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof and hidden them in the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order on the roof. So the men pursued them on the road to the Jordan, to the fords, and as soon as those who were pursuing them had gone out, they shut the gate. Now before they lay down, she came unto them on the roof and said to the men, I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land have melted away before you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. When we heard it, our hearts melted, and no courage remained in any man any longer because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven, above, and on earth, beneath. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. We thank you, Lord, that we can go through some scripture tonight and be in your word tonight, Lord. And we pray that you equip us and, Lord, charge us and convict us, Lord, whatever you need to do to us to perhaps get us back on the path we need to be on. We're thankful, Lord, that you give us second chances and third chances and 10th and 12th chances, Lord. Thank you for your grace. So we talk about your grace tonight, Lord. We're thankful for faith as we talk about faith this evening. Lord, thank you for saving us. Thank you for setting us aside for your work and for the building of your kingdom. Thank you for your church tonight, Lord. It's in your name we pray, and all God's people said, Amen. Amen. Thank you all for standing. You may be seated. All right. We left off last time talking about grace abounding. Grace abounds. I mean, it's just grace overflows. It's just always, you know, God's grace, right? I mean, we need it. He gives it. Praise God, we get to have it. Amen? We said the first story in Joshua is a story of God's mercy rather than of His wrath. Remember what we said? We said Joshua is a book of harsh conquest. And the premise for the particularly destructive nature of this conquest is that the sin of the Amorites had finally reached its full measure. Remember what Genesis 15, 16 says, then in the fourth generation they will return here, talking about the children of Israel, they will return here, for the iniquity of the Amorite is not yet complete. Well, now the iniquity is complete, and the children of Israel have come, and they're going to take the promised land. That is, the people, the Amorites, were ripe for judgment. All through Joshua, we see God commanding the Jews utterly to destroy the nations occupying the land, a judgment that has its closest parallel in the destruction of the entire human race during the flood, except for Noah and his family. Yet even in this book of harsh and utter judgment, even in this book of conquest, even in this book of death and mayhem, even in the middle of that, the very first story is about the salvation of the harlot of Jericho. You got to appreciate the abounding grace. I think you have to appreciate that. Amen? This is a story of great mercy because Rahab had nothing going for her, humanly speaking. Does that make sense? Had nothing going for her, humanly speaking. She was not a part of the Chamber of Commerce, right? She was not the mayor of the city. She is a harlot. She got nothing going for her, humanly speaking. An exercise in listing her human liabilities, that's what we're going to do as we begin tonight. Listing her human liabilities will bring her situation into greater focus. three liabilities I want you to see tonight. You know these. It's not any kind of big secret. But number one, she was a Gentile. Everybody good on that? That makes sense to everybody? She was not a Jew, right? She was a Gentile. Praise God for the truth that throughout the long history of the Jewish people, God demonstrated a marvelous tendency, praise God, to reach out and save certain representative Gentiles. Over and over again through the Old Testament, there's a Gentile here getting saved and a Gentile there getting saved. Amen? There was Ruth the Moabitess, or Naaman the Syrian. However, Jesus later said in John chapter 4, verse 22, the woman at the well, you worship what you do not know, we worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. Paul reported in the book of Romans, chapter 3, verse 1 and 2, he says, then what advantage has the Jew? Or what is the benefit of circumcision? Great in every respect. That's what Paul writes, writing to the Romans. First of all, that they were entrusted with the oracles, or your Bible may say, prophecy of God, or word of God. Amen? That's what oracles, prophecy, that's what that's talking about. Romans chapter 9, verses 4 and 5, Paul continues on. He says, who are Israelites to whom belongs the adoption as sons, and the glory, and the covenants, and the giving of the law, and the temple service, and the promises? Whose are the fathers, and from whom is the Christ, according to the flesh, who is over all, God blessed forever? Amen. That's what the word says. It ends with amen. Verse 5. Not every one of these advantages was fully possessed by Israel at the time of the conquest, at the time of the book of Joshua. But most of these advantages were. And this is the point. Israel possessed these advantages, not the Gentiles. Not the Gentiles yet. Gentiles hadn't been brought full on yet. Amen? Rahab, therefore, was as Paul stated in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12. Remember this passage. Remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Well, friends, she was a Gentile, but secondly, she was an Amorite Gentile. An Amorite, we're talking about her human liabilities. She was an Amorite Gentile. The Amorites were only one of many peoples who occupied the land of Canaan at this time. The Amorites were listed with 9 other Gentile people groups who were now to be destroyed for their wickedness. However, the Amorites were singled out for particular condemnation for their sin. Let me remind you what that was. The Amorites were so corrupt. The Amorites were so vile. They were a people that were so twisted off that they even sacrificed, they led the other pagan peoples in the sacrificing of their children. They were a depraved lot. They did it in the name of their pagan gods. Well, not only was she a Gentile, not only was she an Amorite Gentile, but friend, she was an Amorite Gentile who was a prostitute, a harlot. She ran the joint. It was her house. Had her life already began to change because of her belief in God? Had her life already began to change because of her belief in God? I think we can say yes. I think her life is beginning to make a turn for the better. You say, how can you say that, Pastor? Because it calls her a harlot. Well, listen to me. The Bible is interconnected, and the Bible speaks to different parts of the Bible. And if you want to interpret the Scripture, find a Scripture that interprets that Scripture. Amen? The hint of a life change is found in the reference to hiding the spies in the stalks of flax. Okay, what's the big deal? Stalks of flax. What's the point? So what? Proverbs chapter 31, 13, talking about a virtuous woman, says this. She looks for wool and flax, and works with her hands in delight. Friend, why does she have stalks of flax on the roof? Perhaps she's making a career change. You understand what I'm saying when I say that? Did the two spies go to her house for immoral purposes? No, they did not. No, they did not. A prostitute's house, the harlot's house, was the least likely place these two strangers, new to town, would be asked embarrassing questions. There's strangers coming up in there all the time. There, the two spies going to Rahab's house was really a stroke of genius. It was really an intelligent thing to do. In addition, when the king heard that the spies had gone to Rahab and sent to have them brought out to him, he seemed to accept her report that the men had left almost as quickly as they had gone in. So there's no doubt that Rahab was a prostitute. Not trying to cast doubt on that. Just as the Samaritan woman was also sexually immoral in John chapter 4. Rahab's story is merely another case of the great and inexplicable and sometimes inexpressible grace of God. That's what Rahab's story is about. Amen. Reaching out to save such a one. So we think about our lives and we think about the things we've done and we think about the shortcomings we've had. We think about all the junk that we're carrying around. Friend, God's in the business of taking people like Rahab. God's in the business, Jesus is in the business of taking people like the woman caught, the Samaritan woman at the well. Jesus is in the business of taking stuff that's really messed up and making really great things out of it. Amen? That's what Jesus is in the business about doing. It is grace abounding. Amen? Grace abounding. Why would you not want to get saved? Why would you not want to have your sins forgiven? Why would you not want to come shoulder up and build His church and further His kingdom? Why? It is grace abounding to you. It compels you. It drives you. Amen? I know it drives me. His grace abounding. I don't work for Him to receive the grace. I work for Him because of grace. Amen? Grace abounding. Well, not only do we see grace abounding here, but we also see that faith comes by hearing. Faith comes by hearing. In spite of this grim list of liabilities, a Gentile, an Amorite, a prostitute, this pagan woman had at least one great thing going for her. What's that? She had heard. But not only had she heard, she had listened about the God of Israel. She not just heard, she wasn't just in the room when it was being spoke of, she listened. There's a difference, amen? She listened. As a result of that, she believed in the true God. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." That is correct. And that brings us to that portion of Scripture that was new tonight. That's Rahab's great confession. Rahab's great confession. Look at it again with me, verse 8. So the sons of Israel, I went the wrong way with the page. Chapter 2, verse 8. Now before they lay down, she came up to them on the roof and said to them, "I know that the Lord has given you the land and that the terror of you has fallen on us and that all the inhabitants of the land have melted before you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt. And what you did to the kings, to the two kings of the Amorites, who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. When we heard it, Our hearts melted, and no courage remained in any man any longer because of you. For the Lord, this is the confession, for the Lord your God, He is God. Notice He's not a God. Notice He's not one of gods. He is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. She went from being a polytheistic pagan to being a monotheistic believer. Right there, right now, I mean, it happened right then. She makes that her great confession. Now, polytheistic, worship of many gods, monotheistic, mono, one, worship of the one true God. She went to being a believer. Now, there was much about the faith, there was much about history of Israel that Rahab did not know. She had heard only of God's acts in delivering the Jews from Egypt and of the victory He had given them over the two Amorite nations east of the Jordan. But praise the Lord. I mean, praise the Lord. That was all the information about God she needed. Amen? That's all she needed. Rahab did not have the adoption. Rahab did not have the covenants. Rahab did not have the law. Rahab did not have the worship or the promises, but she had ears. She had ears, and she didn't just listen. She heard. She heard and listened to what God did and believed on Him as a result. So from whom did Rahab hear about God? What evangelist rolled through Jericho to preach to her? The answer is probably from the men who frequented her establishment. That's how she found out about Jehovah. That's how she found out about Yahweh. That's how she found out about Elohim. That's how she found out about the one true God. Amen? Rahab's home was probably a place of great gossip as strangers from near and far reported their tales of foreign wonders. You can just imagine if those walls could talk. You're not going to believe what happened in Egypt. I mean, people are talking about it all over the known world. These men seeking to sin would bear the tale of how God sent plagues on the Egyptians. Plagues that turned the water of the Nile River to blood. Plagues that brought flies and frogs upon the land. Plagues that destroyed the cattle and blotted out the sun. And last of all, there was this plague that killed the firstborn of the Egyptians, but not of the Hebrews. Something about blood being on the doorposts. It's amazing. Another would say, you're really not going to believe what happened next at the Red Sea. The Jewish God parted the water so that the people crossed over not on muddy ground, not on damp ground, but parched dry ground. What once was wet, what once had feet of water over it, now was dry, and they crossed over it on dry ground. As they go, they're watching an aquarium on both sides. It's amazing the stories that have come out of this. And then, as they're getting to the other side, the Egyptian, their finest army and chariots are chasing them. And this God, as quickly as He parted the sea, let the sea come back together and drowned every one of them. Someone else would chime in, and I heard they are headed this way. They are coming. They've been wandering around in the desert for 40 years, and that's over with. And they're coming. Not very long ago, these Hebrews defeated and killed Sihon and Og, the two Amorite kings east of the Jordan River. And so it brings me back to this topic. Abounding grace. Faith comes by hearing. And in the midst of all this is, do you see? Do you see? Do you hear? I know you listen, but do you hear the wonderful sovereignty, the wonderful control, the wonderful power of God? Do you sense what's going on here? These crooked sticks, these men coming in to a harlot's home seeking to sin and communicating truth to Rahab. God taking a crooked stick, God taking this individual who wants to sin, and he can't help but share the truth about the people of God. The truth is the truth, amen? It has a positive effect on her of expressing her faith in God. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The Bible certainly does not excuse Rahab's prostitution, and nor am I trying to make light of it tonight. Yet what the devil meant for evil in this house of debauchery, Rahab's house, called her home, God used for His good and purposes in saving Rahab and her household. Amen. Amen. If you're saved tonight, if you're a believer tonight, think about how God Almighty orchestrated the very service or the days leading up to it or the circumstances of your life. Friend, God is in control. Amen. You made a choice, but friend, He brought you to the crossroad. It speaks of His love, doesn't it? Speaks of His grace. It speaks of His desire to have you and to keep you and to hold you and to bring you on to glory one day with Him. Amen? Hallelujah. When the roll is called up yonder, man, I'll be there. So when you think about those around you that are lost, if God can use a bunch of sin and gossiping men going to a harlot's house, God can use you to communicate His truth. To communicate His truth for the salvation of the lost people around you. Man, let me tell you what God did. Let me tell you what God does. You talk about your own personal life. Let me tell you what God said. Amen. Let me tell you He's coming back. Amen. Right? Let me tell you He's in control. Right? He's in control. Well, praise God. Let's have a word of prayer, and then we've got some time to pray. And we will go through our prayer list tonight. Amen? Amen. Let's bow. Our Heavenly Father, we come to You. We thank You, Lord, that we can be again in Your Word. Thank You, Lord, that You're clear in it. And Lord, thank You that again and again we see Your grace. We see this thing called faith. And we see this wonderful thing of Your sovereignty. Lord, so often we think that we're in control. So often we worry and get all wound up and spin emotionally. God, You're in control. You've got this thing. It's in Your hand. We're in Your hand. Your Word says You're never going to let us go. Thank You, Lord, for keeping us and for sustaining us and for equipping us and for encouraging us and for loving us. Thank You so much. You truly are an awesome God. We seek to live for You and to serve You and to worship you and to bring glory and honor to your name. You are an awesome God. Jesus, we're so blessed to be saved tonight. We're so thankful and humbled and honored that you arranged our salvation, that you brought us to the crossroads. Lord, that you put it on us with the convicting power of your Holy Spirit. You squeezed our hearts, and we are so thankful that we heard the Word, and through the Word we had some faith, and Lord, we exercised that faith in you to be our Savior and Lord. Now we think about those around us, Lord, that are lost. They are without a church. They are wandering around in the desert, Lord. They are in darkness. They are, as the Bible says, they are headed on a wide path, a wide road that leads to destruction. They stand condemned already. Lord, may we be a part of that sovereign team. May we be a part of your sovereign hand that brings them to the crossroad of a decision. Lord, give us a sensitive heart. Give us an outward-looking mindset. May we not be so inwardly focused, but may we be outwardly focused when we get a sense we're talking to someone that's as lost as a ball in high weeds, Lord. May we sow a gospel seed in their heart and in their life. Lord, as these men in this passage perhaps didn't even know what they were doing when they were talking about the Hebrews, Lord, we know what we're talking about. We've experienced salvation. We ought to want to shout it, tell it, share it. Help us be that kind of church. Help us be that kind of church member. We praise you tonight, God. Thank you for all that you do for us. It's in your name we pray. Amen. All right, prayer requests out there tonight? Yes, ma'am.